Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
And a good Saturday morning to you, Braves fans. Alongside Chris Domino, I'm Kevin McAlpin, and this is Braves Pregame Daily for May the 15th, 2021. Braves coming off a win last night in Milwaukee. Chris, 6-3 was your final, and another solid performance from Drew Smyly. Well, that's back-to-back really good ones for him. I don't know if he can sustain this kind of success for the next 4.5 months, but this certainly looks a lot more like the guy the Braves thought they were signing back in November, does it not?
Yeah, and again, we say it all the time. You do something once, can you double it up? I was a little bit skeptical. He sort of scolded us a couple of outings ago, and he said he was going to figure it out. He'd been doing this for a long time. My response was 35 and 35. I'm not really sure that he's in a position to talk about that, but certainly good enough over the last two starts to have you believe that what he gave you is an opportunity to win baseball games. And I'm not saying that's the minimum I want from him, but compared to what it was in the beginning, I'll certainly take that. Maybe it even ticks up from here on out. Yeah, Drew Smyly did his job last night. And a team that really has, you know, really scuffled to score runs in Milwaukee, as we mentioned yesterday, 2 weeks into May, the only team scoring fewer runs per game than Milwaukee are the Pittsburgh Pirates, who actually tick under three. Milwaukee was a tick over three. You kept them in check last night, and it was Drew Smyly and bullpen. And here's the good news, Kevin. You go back-to-back for the first time, and that's certainly the headline. Here's Ozuna. He takes a selfie. Here comes Ozzie Albies. He hits the home run. But this game felt quite opposite than a lot of games have felt with the Braves, where you go, you know, this one feels like it's in control. And in control is something I'll take as they try to get back to 500. I don't need dominating like it, but this was an in-control baseball game, it seemed, for enough innings last night where you felt good about how it was going to end.
Did it surprise you? I pulled out the game notes as soon as Ozzy hit the home run. I said, I wonder how many times they've gone back-to-back this year.
None.
Oh, wait, that was the first time. That's a little surprising that in game 38 of the season, that's the first time you've done that. Boy, it felt like they made a living off of doing that last season.
Well, I can tell you it was four times in 60 games. They did do it four times last year. This is the first one in game 38. So, yeah, felt good. We had given you the number. In the last 162 games played, where your answer would always seem to be one of two things. Just say Ronald Acuna really fast, or say Freddie Freeman really fast. The guy who's sixth in all of baseball in extra base hits, sixth, was Ozzie Albies. He had 84 in his previous 162 played. He obviously goes for another one last night. But, yeah, Ozzie Albies, it's obviously the doubles with some home run pop, but it was good to see the Braves, as I said, really put themselves in a position to not have to worry. It's kind of strange. They're up 4-1 at the end of five. They make it 5-1, 6-1. Now, you give up two in the ninth, and I know it'd be easy to say, yeah, but what about that? I'm not playing the what about that in the ninth game. They did enough last night to make me feel comfortable that they were winning a baseball game. Didn't need to come from behind. Didn't need the bullpen to be good for three innings. I needed them to be okay for three innings. Didn't need them to be great for three innings. And they won a baseball game in a manner that, Kevin, I don't think they've won enough games this year. So that's what I take out of a Friday night win in Milwaukee.
Yeah, no question. And obviously no Ronald Acuna Jr. in the lineup last night. Snit said yesterday, holding out hope maybe he's able to go tonight. We'll see how he feels. He was still pretty sore yesterday, so we saw Eddie Adrianza get a chance to hit leadoff. He was on base one time in five trips to the plate, a walk in the third. What a weird third inning. Ben pointed this out on the broadcast. Three walks, a balk, a wild pitch, and they scored two runs in that inning against Adrian Hauser, who, boy, we gave the numbers on the pregame show yesterday. Hauser had thrown the ball really, really well. He can't go deeper than three innings with five walks. It was just a really uncharacteristically wild night. But as we've talked about, the Braves made him pay, and that's something they have not done a whole lot of this season when guys are on the ropes like that.
Yeah, listen, it wasn't a perfect night for the Braves. You know, you leave 17 guys on base. The good news is they left 18. And how do you go two-plus weeks with being the second-worst offensive team in baseball? You leave a lot of guys on. But they went from 15 strikeouts on Thursday, I think it was 15 on Thursday night. They brought that down to 9. They picked up the 5 walks and obviously the 6 runs. So it was an easier game than they've had in a while. They'll try to go Anderson versus Anderson today before what really is a good pitching matchup tomorrow. And it's another one of those pitching matchups. It's not the Sunday night game like last week. But you're going to see Oscar Anoa go against Freddy Peralta. And I'm telling you, unless you're a baseball fan who either roots for this team or roots for the Milwaukee Brewers, if Anoa sort of had a spotlight moment last week, Freddy Peralta is a guy who's been really good that I'd imagine nobody knows he's been really good this year.
Yeah, no, you're right. Because again, on that pitching staff, he's sort of the third guy. Everyone's talking about what Woodruff has done. Of course, he has been terrific. And then Burns has been outstanding for Milwaukee. Yeah, Peralta's sort of the third guy that maybe he's probably pitching better than a lot of folks realize. And you say the same about Oscar Anoa. I mean, this guy, he finally got his moment on ESPN last week, which I can't imagine the Brewers get a whole lot of Sunday night baseball action. But yeah, it was good to see him get, sort of the focus. ESPN talked about him not only on the mound, but with the bat as well. So that is a good matchup tomorrow night. I'm excited for Ian Anderson. He's coming off a no decision against the Phillies. He has thrown the ball really well this season. And for a 23-year-old, consistency is what you look for. Had a rough spring training. Wasn't the same guy early on in the season. I was wondering, is that going to carry in? But I really like it. And I've said this on the air with you on the pregame show. I feel like when Ian Anderson's on the mound, to me, that almost has felt like it's a chance. It's going to be win day for the Braves. He's been that good for you, even at the ripe old age of just 23 years old.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Look, we said it. Thank goodness for Enoa and Anderson. Because as you're waiting for Soroka to get back, and no more news, he is going to get that exploratory surgery. You're waiting for Max Fried to be healthy and pitch to the level that you believe he's going to pitch at for an extended period of time in 2021, as opposed to certainly the good stuff he did in 19 and 20. You're going to need something. And whether it's a hero or whether it's somebody who's close to being a hero, you have a couple of starters who nobody expected this from, who hopefully Ian Anderson starts it off and they can go back-to-back the way they did in back-to-back starts a couple of times just not too long ago, a few weeks ago. There's one other thing I do want to mention. I sort of wanted to dismiss what happened late in the game, but I think the thing I can't dismiss is the home runs off of Tomlin. Let's just say that with that look last night, you tell me if you agree, it's got to be tougher to put him in that one-run, two-run game situation right now if he's going to give up home runs. They count. They're going on somebody's ledger. They're going to be in baseballreference.com. But it didn't put you in a position to lose the game. But what am I supposed to take away from the idea that, wow, that home run thing is still a thing for him? And maybe this whole idea of short is not the way it's going to work. He's either mop-up guy big win, mop-up guy big loss, as opposed to the one-run pitcher right now.
I don't know that you can trust him in a close game. The home runs, and look, he's going to give up home runs because he's not going to walk anybody. That's the big issue. You know, he's going to be in the zone, and I think when you have a 6-1 lead in the ninth, what are you going to do? You're going to groove one, or you're going to groove a few of them, and you can live with the solo homer to Urias and Pena. That's okay, but unfortunately, the flip side of that, Chris, is you had to bring your closer in. You had to get Will Smith into a game where you were trying to avoid him. So sort of the good news, bad news, right? The good news is you won the game. You had a comfortable lead. The bad news is on a night where you were trying to avoid going with Will Smith, you went with Josh Tomlin. Now, I'll say this. If/when, and it's more of a when situation now, when Shane Green is back, I think that's a spot where you see Greeny and you don't see Josh Tomlin. So that's at least you know that there's some reinforcements on the way here in the not-too-distant future.
Can I tell you what I'd like to do is not have to use either one of them in a 6-1 game.
Sure.
You know, that's really the goal is who's the guy that Green might have to come in if Tomlin gives up the homers. You might not go to Will Smith right at that moment. Maybe that's the trade-off once you get another guy back. We do have to mention a piece of news. Jonathan LaCroix was signed by the Atlanta Braves, and now it makes a little bit more sense with Tyler Flowers officially retiring, does it not?
It does, yeah. And look, I don't know what LaCroix still has left in the tank. He's now 34. He'll be 35 in June. Bounced around. Boy, this guy was one of the best catchers in baseball from, 2010 through 2015, 2016. But since, boy, he has really made the rounds to Texas, Colorado, Oakland, the Angels, the Cubs, the Red Sox, and most recently the Washington Nationals. So, look, I like LaCroix a lot. I'll be curious to see what he has left. But again, a chance for the Braves potentially to get a little younger as far as that backup catcher's position is concerned. You have a 38-year-old there in Jeff Mathis. And really, if something was to happen now, to either Mathis or Contreras, you would really be scrambling. So it's a good insurance policy. And by all indications, I've chatted with him a few times. Seems like a really good guy that folks will love in the clubhouse as well.
Yeah, just have to mention this. 15 games last night, everybody played. 8 guys ended up registering saves. The only reason I bring it up, I'm going to tell you about a closer in a second, an Atlanta Braves closer of history and note. What he'll be doing with Kevin and myself coming up next Monday night. Melanson picked up his 13th save.
Wow.
It's May 14th yesterday. He picked up his 13th save. Kimbrel picked up his 7th. His pace had slowed down a little bit. Chris Bryant hits another home run where the trade talks and Chris Bryant being a viable option this year for somebody. If the Cubs aren't in it, if they want to raise, as Jed Hoyer would have to say at some point, yeah, kind of white flaggish that they maybe trade him and anybody else. Bryant is hitting well. Kimbrel comes up at number 7. But Mark Melanson ends up with his 13th last night as San Diego wins that game. Here's why I bring that up. Talking about bullpen guys. Kevin and I, if you're in the Atlanta, Georgia area, the Kennesaw, Georgia area, next Monday night after Braves Alumni Weekend, which is happening this weekend, Friday through Sunday, Mark Rollers is going to join you and I at a Hooters up in Kennesaw. We're going to do this over the course of the season at least once a month. Chris Medlin joined us. Mark Rollers, the man who was on the mound when the Braves won their World Series in 1995, he'll come on out. Mark's got a really busy post-career life. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about fatherhood. He's got a son who's going to pitch at Berry College. I know he's very proud of that. So we'll spend an hour with Mark Rollers. If you come on out, you can get a picture taken, autograph. Mark knows the drill. He's been really, really good about it in the last handful plus years. Kevin, he was a guy that I talked to a few times. He didn't do a lot of stuff with the alumni for a few years. It just wasn't comfortable to him for a number of reasons, whatever. He's in a much better place now. His post-career life is going well. He's in the real estate business. And I like Mark a lot. I really do. I always liked him. There was a moment, of course, when it sort of turned on him a little bit. You get an injury, and all of a sudden there's a little bit of a bounce around. But I'm glad he's back. I'm glad he's doing the alumni stuff with the Atlanta Braves. He certainly has earned that right. He has a place in history. You know, him standing on the mound before the dog pile actually happens is one of the great photos of all time in Braves history. So Mark will join you and I next Monday night, 7 o'clock, if you're in the Kennesaw, Georgia area. We'd love for you to stop by Hooters. Don't forget Hooters. Fights, MMA, UFC, boxing, basketball, NHL playoffs are coming. Plus baseball all day long. I'm heading over to one locally here this afternoon to watch a little Met baseball. Might as well keep an eye on a team that the Braves haven't played yet. I'm going to actually watch on TV before I actually get a chance to see the Atlanta Braves play them. They're playing the Tampa Bay Rays. We're going to spend a little afternoon watching some baseball. So Hooters will give you an opportunity with great wings, great burgers, cold beers, and social atmosphere. Stop by Hooters anywhere in Braves country. Tell them you want to put a Braves game on, and they will surely do that for you.
That sounds good. I think you and I have to do just a day after the pregame show. Head over to the local one there near the ballpark.
Yeah.
I think we need to go grab a couple cold ones and maybe have a field trip one of these days.
Well, here's what I say. Let's let the game run itself. We'll bring everybody from behind the glass. Listen, what's the worst that could happen? We'll feed these guys a couple of beers. You guys will come back and do a post-game show. I'm not sure that'll happen, but we'll talk about it before the next couple of weeks get out, before we hit June 1st, and the day that everybody has to look at the standings. The Braves do inch close to the 500. You and I have talked about that and what's going on in and around baseball. The Mets do lose yesterday. That 7-game win streak is done. So good news in terms of that, picking up a game on the first-place team.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the Mets have been really, really good. They've been playing good baseball. And it is bizarre that here we are, middle of May. You're done with the Cubs for the season. You're done with the Blue Jays for the year. And we still haven't seen one of the teams in this own NL East. And it should be a good series against New York here starting early next week at Truist Park. Hey, by the way, if you're looking for something to occupy yourself with this weekend, maybe you have some friends coming over. Maybe you're firing up the grill. Maybe you're just going to sit down and watch some Braves baseball. Why not pick up a bottle of Grey Goose Essences Premium Distilled Vodka, zero carbs, zero sugar, and just 73 calories per serving. 3 awesome flavors, watermelon and basil, strawberry and lemongrass, white peach and rosemary, and it's made with all natural ingredients, Chris, not all that fake stuff that all these folks are putting in these drinks these days. All natural ingredients, perfect for your weekend. Hey, you got a little bit earlier start tonight, 7:10 Eastern, and if you want to sync up the TV broadcast with the radio call, we encourage that as well, but do it with a bottle of Grey Goose Essences. Want to thank them for being a part of the show as well all season long.
Yeah, Grey Goose Vodka is now in the business of saying, hey, this is a little bit more refreshing than a bottle of wine in a 92-degree summer afternoon turning into evening. Don't show up empty-handed. Show up with a bottle of Grey Goose Essence. I have to mention, Toronto, after what they did to the Braves here, Philadelphia shuts them down 5-1. A guy by the name of Connor Brogdon, who's got a 5-plus ERA, has 4 wins for the Philadelphia Phillies. But that's not even the craziest number. By the way, the Blue Jays only mustered 4 hits in that game. So we get rid of them, and all of a sudden somebody takes care of them. It happens to be somebody in the division. So it doesn't go well so far in the 4 days that I've had to mention the Toronto Blue Jays this week. Here's the number that I found to be maybe the most interesting number in all of baseball. Bryce Harper has 7 home runs and 11 RBI. Did you see why that is?
I did not.
He's driven in himself 7 times with the 7 homers. He's driven in 4 guys 1 time apiece. Zach Eflin, he's driven Zach Eflin in, who doesn't have a hit on the season, 1 time, which is 1 more than Rhys Hoskins, who hit in front of him for 23 games.
Wow.
Roll that around. He's been up 14% of the time with runners in scoring position. He has 6 hits with runners in scoring position. He's driven in 1 run in those 6 hits. So, again, good news, Philadelphia can struggle offensively. You want to blame Bryce Harper, that's fine. Really, the blame is how few opportunities he's getting. But that helps. You got to hold him down. I'm assuming that will correct itself to some degree. But if you look around the division, Mets winning 7 in a row, Noah Syndergaard might be coming. Who's doing what in this division? I'm sure you saw Washington, 22 hits, 17 runs. They exploded last night. So a good night for the Braves to find a way to win in Milwaukee, I guess is the point, because there's some other stuff going on in the division you do have to keep your eye on.
Yeah, the Nationals, and I saw this number this morning when I was looking through their box score. How about 9 for 26 with runners in scoring position in last night's ballgame? 26 at-bats with runners in scoring position is a good series for a lot of teams, and the Nationals did it last night. They scored 6 in the first, and boy, you could have scored 3 in the first, and that would have been all that Max Scherzer would have needed last night. Only goes 5 innings.
Well,
that's
the beauty of it. Well, you know what? I think the beauty of that, though, Kevin, sit him down.
Yeah.
I kind of like it. You know, there's nights that I believe Max Scherzer will give you the death stare if you're even thinking about taking him out of a game. I think last night it really made a lot of sense.
Yeah,
he's
I think
comfortable.
You're right.
Got 5 innings, you're done. Well, let's get to the next one. So that is what's going on in the division as well. Kevin and I will do this again tomorrow. We do it every day. Please hit subscribe. Tell your friends. Braves Radio pregame daily podcast is what we're doing. Be a part of it, and we'll give you a little bit of a recap last night. Ian Anderson, Brett Anderson today. We'll find out if Ronald Acuna gets back in. We'll see if Craig Counsell wants to. It might be time to shuffle up their lineup a little bit. I'm going to see what that might mean for them. Christian Yelich, by the way, does have another rehab start under his belt last night at AAA. He's hopefully, for their sake, by the time the Braves get out of town, inching closer to coming back to play at the big league level. Missing him in the middle of their lineup is certainly a big deal. We'll see what their lineup looks like. We'll see if Ronald Acuna is playing today. It's also going to be a day game after a night game, so we'll see what that means for tomorrow's lineup for the Atlanta Braves. We'll have it all right here on the Braves Radio Network and a daily pregame podcast show, courtesy of Hooters and Grey Goose.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at atlantaramjack.com.